Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Amen. So thankful just for our worship team and the way they just faithfully point us to Christ. And we welcome you this morning. So grateful to see. Got a few college students that are back in town on fall break. Always a joy to see you guys and excited just to have you worshiping with us this morning. If you're a guest, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. We're just incredibly grateful that you are spending your Sunday with us. We've been on a journey through the book of Exodus, and last week my heart just kind of stirred a different direction, and so we're going to kind of take a pause in Exodus, and we're going to journey toward Joshua, where we'll spend a few weeks and then come back in around Christmas and look at the tabernacle and just this reality that that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And so I'm super excited to get to those places. There's a place over this past few weeks that have just continued to stir my heart as we just reflect on this young man named Joshua and how we would see in Exodus chapter 33, I believe it's verse 11, where Moses was gathering in the tent. He was spinning. You'll see a tent kind of on stage there. Appreciate that little beautiful picture there of kind of where we're going this morning. But we would see Moses would go to this tent of meeting apart from the camp, and he would fellowship. He would spend time in these moments in the presence of God. The scripture says that he would speak to him as a friend would talk to a friend. And there was a young man, Joshua. And it says that his assistant, Joshua, that when Moses would leave the tent, that this young man would not leave the tent, that he would linger in the presence of God. And as I read that, it snuck up on me. I was reading that and just kind of praying and studying for last week. And there was just something in my spirit that just, I mean, stirred in an incredible way. And it's driven me to just desire to be in his presence maybe more than I have been in a long time. This moment that just says, man, I want to be one of those people that'll linger in the presence of God, that I might hear his voice, that he might prepare us for what he wants to do through us by the time that he would spend with us, that he would do a work in us and then do a work through us. We pray that same thing for our El Salvador team. You'll see a picture or two of them. They are in church right now in El Salvador, and Pastor Chris is preaching. So we want to continue to be praying for them and expectant of their time back. Next week, we'll spend some time on Wednesday night. So this coming Wednesday, if you are able, we'd love to invite you to come and join us right here, and you'll be hearing from them a message, but also about that trip and how God is working in El Salvador. Next Sunday, our 8:45 and our 11:15 will be as normal, but at 9:45, we'll have, as part of that service, a deacon ordination of Samuel Crabtree and Joseph Anderson. And so if you'd like to be part of that, again, that'll be at our 9:45 next week. That'll be a special part of the end of that service. Now, as we journey toward this time where Joshua's going to lead his people into the promised land, we want to lean in just a little bit along that journey. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 13. You can take your copy of God's Word and turn there. A couple things about Joshua. First time we really see him is in Exodus 17. The Amalekites have come against the people of God, and we see Joshua leading his people into battle. Now, God's beginning to teach Joshua some things. If you remember that story, Moses would hold up his staff, and when the staff was lifted up, the Israelites were prevailing in the battle. They were victorious in the battle. And when that staff would fall, it's this picture of Moses lifting his hands in prayer. And when that staff would lower, the Amalekites would begin to take ground. And so Aaron and Ur came, and they lifted up Moses' arms. They supported him in that journey, and we saw the victory won. And so from the very beginning, Joshua is learning that his strength is not where it's at, right? That his strength doesn't, like, the victory's not going to come from his strength, but it's going to come from the Lord, right? We would see that. He would go partway up the mountain, and he would observe as Moses would be in the presence of God, and then later he would dwell and linger there. Well, by this time, there are some things that are taking place, right? There's some things that have gone on, and we don't have time to go through all of those things, right? But we would see that Joshua, before he leads his people, right, he would linger in the presence of God. And I just wonder, what could God do through the people that gather here week in and week out? What could he do through the people at Cowie if we learned to linger like that? If we said, you know what, I'm not going to start my day apart from time in the presence of God. I want to open his word and hear his voice. We want to be spirit-led, scripture-fed. We want to be people who are living their lives out of an overflow of time with God. Those who would recognize that the life of a follower of Christ is not us living for Jesus, but Jesus living his life in and through us, right? This is a beautiful picture that we would see here. And so as we follow this story, we would understand that Israel has built the tabernacle, that the cloud of God's glory has rested over it, that he's led them, this pillar of this cloud by day, right? We would see them being led to the promised land. And when we pick up in Numbers 13, we see that God has led them right to the edge of the promised land. This is like an incredible moment, right? And God's people, they're right there. All the promises that God has given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like, they're just right in front of them, right? And in Numbers 13, the early part of that chapter, we're not going to read all of those, but we would see that this is a land that God is going to give his people. And although God's giving it to them, they're going to have to understand what they need to do. And they're going to go in and they're going to look at this land. They're going to see what it's like. They're going to see if, man, is this land what God has said it was going to be? Is it going to be incredible? What are the things we're going to face there? How are we going to go in and take this land? And so they have, Moses gives them this charge, and the tribes, there's 12 tribes, and they appoint one person from each tribe, and they're going to go in, and they're going to take a look at the land, and they're going to see, man, is this land, does it flow with milk and honey? What's it going to be like? What's it going to look like when they get there, right? And when they return, right, they go in there, they spend 40 days, right, they come back out, and they have a report. And what we know, it's a familiar text, what we know is that the report that they give divides the camp. Two of them are going to give a report that's going to focus on the greatness of God, and 10 of them are going to give a report that's based in fear. The giants that are around, you know, we've sung about that this morning. Remember those giants you called death and shame, all those things, right? We see this kind of picture here. That's where we pick up. We're going to look at verses 26 to 33, and we'll look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 through 9. And so if you're able, if you'll stand with me in honor of reading God's holy, infallible, inerrant word, we'll read these verses together. And it's our custom at the end of that reading that all together we'll quote Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. You'll see that on the screen along with these verses as well. Beginning in Numbers 13, verse 26, this is the word of God. It says, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and certainly it does flow with milk and honey. And look, here's its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against this people, for they're too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great size. There we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Skip over to Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And then all together, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of Let's pray. Holy God, we're thankful, God, that your word stands forever. God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. And God, when we, God, see you correctly and we're reminded, Lord, that you are great and greatly to be praised, God, that you are the creator and sustainer of all things, God, that you hold everything together in your power. God, when we are reminded of that, Lord, the things that are around us, God, that the things that cause us fear, Lord, they become small. And Lord, we confess, Lord, our tendency to see, God, through the eyes of our flesh and to look at this world and to be afraid and, God, to shrink back even in the midst of times you've called us to charge forward for your glory. And God, we pray you help us today, God, to be reminded of who you are, Lord, that your word, God, might do a work in us, that God, your spirit might do a work through us as we leave. Father, and we pray, Lord, for our family, God, that is in El Salvador, God. We pray for that team, Lord, as they are worshiping, God, even at these moments, God, that we are, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, that they're there, God, that they've been obedient to your call to go into all the world, God. And we pray, God, that you would use them. God, we pray, God, that you would allow, God, the words that they speak. God, we read in your word, God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. God, we pray, Lord, as they proclaim your gospel, Lord, and they demonstrate your love, God, that people there might see that you love them, God, and that you've sent not only Jesus into the midst of this broken world, God, but you've sent this team to declare his grace, Lord, and that they might feel and experience your love. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for just gathering us here, Lord, and we pray, God, that you would, in the power of your spirit, God, help us to leave different than we came. God, on mission for the glory of your name. God, that places where we've been afraid, Lord, that you might cause our faith to increase, Lord, and that we might be a people who live on mission for the glory of your name. Lord, we pray this in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to look at this familiar story. And as I shared earlier, this heart of lingering in the tent, this heart of living our lives out of an overflow of time in the presence of God, really stirs kind of the foundation of where we're going. And so as we look at this familiar story, I want us to see what lingering in the presence of God changes in our life. And I believe that it changes everything. Point number one, as we look at this text, I want you to see that lingering in the presence of God changes how we see. Lingering in the presence of God changes how we see. You know, the 12 spies, right? They all went out and they looked at the same thing. They looked at the same land. They looked at the same fruit. They looked out there, and what they see was this. They saw that what God had said was true. They said, this land, it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And what I need you to know about this land is that when you see Reese cups in this land, the Reese cups are all king size. They're all giant size Reese cups. They're the big ones. And they're free at every corner, right? You can get Reese cups at every corner. The land flows with milk and honey. There are restaurants that are on every corner that have limitless supplies of bread that'll give you for appetizers. It's going to be an incredible place, right? They say, listen, it's a beautiful place. And in the next verse, there's a word that shifts the whole story, right? In the word that is in the next verse is a word, nevertheless, right? He says, nevertheless, but same kind of thing as saying, but the people there, that's what they're saying. He says, nevertheless, the people who live in that long, in that land, he said, they're strong. They're descendants of Chuck Norris. They've been learning. They've been working out. Like when you look at them, they got abs. Seriously, they got abs. The people got abs. Every time we went by, they were in the weight room. They were pumping up. And the people there, they're strong. They're descendants of Anak. Man, they are big people, right? They've been working out. And the city's there. Listen, the walls, they're like double the width. These walls are big. The people are big. And when we see them, we're small, they're big. You just need to understand that. Caleb, though, he's like, you got to be kidding me. Caleb quiets the people, right? So there, I picture this moment where people are like, man, everything's big. Everything's big. Chuck Norris is there. All the people. And so there's this kind of moment, right? And in that moment, like Caleb gets up and he says, man, there ain't nothing. We can take them. We can take them easy. Don't even worry about what they're saying. We can take them really easy. We by all means should go up and take care of it. In Hebrew, the way the word is saying there, he's like, we can do it. It's like it says it twice. That's what we would see there. He says, we're able. But the men who had gone up with him, verse 31, the men who went up, they said, listen, we can't. We're not able because they're just too strong. They're just too strong for us. So they've got limiting beliefs about what God can do. They've got limiting beliefs about themselves. They say, man, the people are too big. We're too small. And if we're honest, like, I mean, we're thinking about like all they've seen, all they've experienced. I mean, how could they not trust God in these moments? But we see the same things. I mean, we feel that burden to talk to somebody and somehow the enemy whispers in our ear. You know, we feel like, oh man, I need to share the gospel with my classmate or my teammate or, man, this person at my work, but he cusses all the time and he obviously is not interested in church. And then you hear these what ifs of the enemy and you're like, well, I think maybe I'll share a little something with him. And then the enemy says, well, what if he asks you a question and you don't know the answer? And you hear that and somehow you go, that would be awful. So I better stay quiet. And what if I say something that offends them? And you know, it's a world, everybody's divisive and everybody's getting mad at everybody. And you know, I'll just go to church on Sunday and I'll get in my little small group and I'll talk to my small group about Jesus. But those people don't, man, because I mean, you look at them, I mean, the world's kind of crazy and the people out there, I don't know, they just don't believe right. But when we look at this world and we see God as small, when we get our eyes on the things around, when we see God as small, right, we see our inability, we're afraid. Those spies, the difference is, like some of them went out there, right, and when they looked, they saw these people and they were big, but instead of seeing them as big, they saw God as big. They saw his ability, and the others, they were focused on their inability. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, has a really famous quote, and it's an incredible quote. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God? What is it that comes in our mind when we think about God? And then the other question is just how much do we really think about God? What do we think about in the midst of our day? What do we start our day with? Do we start our day thinking about the greatness of our God and his presence with us and this call that he has on our life? What do we think about in those things? Because when we see God as small, our problems, man, they are incredibly big. But when we see God correctly, everything else shrinks in comparison. We could say it this way: when God gets bigger, our worries get smaller. When we see God correctly, things change. You know, I remember when I got glasses for the first time. My mom's in here somewhere, and she could probably tell you more of the story about all that. But I remember, I guess I was in school, and I was having trouble with my work in school or those kind of things. And so they were kind of figuring out at home, like, you know, if I could see or if I couldn't see. And so they took me to the eye doctor, and I got my first set of glasses, right? It was an incredible moment. Like, I can remember putting on those glasses, and I went out, and it was a whole new world. Like, the world had changed in just a moment, right? I'd go out, and I was driving by, and, like, buildings that I had no idea were brick. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my goodness, those are bricks. And that over there, that tree has leaves. It's incredible. I remember seeing all those things, and I was just blown away. I've got a picture from a little bit back. This is when the girls really started noticing me a lot. This was a real key moment in my and those glasses just came in style like last year. Seriously, they are. But I remember, man, everything changed, right? Whenever I had those glasses, right, nothing around me changed. I mean, the buildings were the same, the walls were the same, the trees were the same, but the lens that I was looking through changed. The lens that I saw everything through changed. And when you linger in the presence of God, when you open his word and you read and you are reminded of his greatness, listen, the lens that you see everything through begins to change. You begin to start seeing life. You begin to start seeing your struggles. You begin to start seeing the world through the greatness of God. And listen, you begin not to see how big the giants are and how small you are, but you begin to be reminded daily of just how great your God is. Listen, some of us, you want to take steps of faith. You want to witness. You want to be used by God, but you're afraid. Some of you saw the video of Tom talking about like doing the D group thing and maybe even leading the D group. And some of you are like, you know, I'd love to do that. But, you know, what if? That's the enemy. The enemy's always whispering, what if you don't know enough? What if something happens? Who's going to go? And nobody's probably going to want to be in a D group with me because they know I'm not smart enough. And you got all those kind of things, right? There are these beliefs that we have. You know, I shared at FCA on Friday, and I was sharing with them, you know, I went through 4 years at Franklin High School, and not one person ever invited me to FCA or church. because they looked at me and by the way that I lived and the things that were there, they thought, you know what, that guy's no way. No way that guy's going to be interested in Jesus. No way is that guy going to come to church. No way is that guy. Listen, every day we are tested. Our faith is tested and we are bombarded with voices from the world saying, listen, church is irrelevant. Nobody is going to believe that. That speaking truth somehow, if you stand for truth and if you stand for the word of God, that it's going to cost you your friends, that it's going to cost you these things, right? And too many believers are shrinking back in the midst of those whispers, those lies of the enemy that say the gospel's, and listen, the gospel is confrontational. The gospel does divide. But listen, we have this truth, right, that has been given to us. The gospel came to you, not to just stop with you, but on its way to other people who need to hear the good news of the gospel, and it transforms lives. And so, listen, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't huddle in fear. They didn't get in that. They stood on the promise and they said, listen, the Lord is with us. We don't have to be afraid. See, when you linger in the presence of God, you start seeing through a different lens. And I hope it's his greatness. I hope that that's the lens that we will see our world in this week. I hope that in his presence, he would change how we see. He would open our eyes. He would allow us to see. Lingering in the presence of God not only changes how we see, but it strengthens how we stand, right? It strengthens how we stand. When the spies returned, 10 were ready to be done, right? But Joshua and Caleb, they're willing to stand in the midst of this. And if you read all of that chapter, the people are ready to stone them. The people are ready to take them out because they're willing to stand. But listen, the people, right, they're saying, hey, the land's good. People are too big, though. They're bad. They're not good. We can't do it. Joshua and Caleb, chapter 14, verse 7, they speak up, right? They speak up. They say, the land is an exceedingly good land, verse 7. Number 8, it says, listen, the Lord is pleased with us. If the Lord's pleased with us, he'll bring us into this land. The land's amazing. It's true. God has promised. It's exactly what he said. Don't rebel. Don't turn back in unbelief. The author of Hebrews would remind us this as well. In the New Testament, he would say, there's a people. There's a big group of people, right, who die in the wilderness because of unbelief. And he says, don't be like those people. He says, don't rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. If God is for us, right? Man, who could be against us? Do not fear. What made the difference? I just believe that it was them being in the presence of God. They weren't standing, Joshua and Caleb, they weren't standing in their own strength. They were standing on the word of God. They were standing on his word. They heard the promise and they believed it. God's giving this land to them. And they said, listen, let's go. That's the kind of strength that they had. That strength comes from lingering. That strength comes from walking in the presence of God. You know, it's like a little boy. I can remember when I was growing up, I was scared of the dark. Maybe some of you, even in the room today, you'd say, you know what? I'm kind of a little bit scared of the dark now. You know, I got flashlights everywhere. Maybe I'm still a little scared of the dark. I don't like the dark, right? And it's not really the dark. It's what's in the dark that scares us, right? We feel that. You know, I can remember my dad would make me go out in the dark, and he'd make me like, you got to man up, son. You got to do that. But I remember when I was little, there was moments like where I was scared of the dark, and all of a sudden you just kind of reach up and you feel your father's hand in the midst of the darkness, right? And when you get a hold of his hand, listen, when you're a kid, like you look, your dad could whip Chuck Norris and all the other people, like it's just how you see it, right? It's just, that's the lens you look through, right? But something about knowing he is with you, listen, I wasn't afraid anymore. It's like, I'll go out and feed the cattle. I'll go out and do whatever you want me to do, Dad, if you'll just go with me, right? Because when he was with me, listen, the things that were in the dark, I knew that my dad would take them out, right? I just knew that I didn't have to worry about those things, right? It's that kind of thing, right? The things that were in the dark, they don't disappear, right? But there's a confidence because of who's with us. That's what happens when we're in the presence of God. It changes how we see. It changes how we'll stand, right? And we'll stand in faith because our courage doesn't come from what we see, but our courage comes because of what he has said. See, that's why it's so important that we are in the word of God. That's why it's so important that the enemy wants to distract us. The enemy wants to keep us from his word. You know, that the pressures that are all around us, our world is a mess. I mean, we could list all kind of giants that would keep us from feeling like we could go out and make a difference for the kingdom. But those who linger in his presence, they will stand on the Word of God. They'll find strength that others don't have. You know, it's interesting. You know what the most repeated phrase in all the Bible is? Do not fear. It's interesting, isn't it? And I believe the second most repeated phrase in the Bible would be, fear God. Isn't that interesting? And there's this reality, there's this truth that when we see God correctly and we have this reverent fear and awe of his greatness and his power, and to think that he is mindful of us, you know, Psalm 8 would remind us that, just this thought that like how big and how great our God is, and to think that he is mindful of all of us, that he sees us, that he is with us. You know, we see in the Old Testament this picture of Moses being in this moment in the presence of God, but we would see that even in the tabernacle and in the sacrificial system and even in the places where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies in this one day a year moment, in all those things we would see the presence of God, but we wouldn't see this intimacy that they would be able to experience in those moments, right? There was a difference in that. And then to think that in Christ, those who have repented of their sins and believed and trusted in him, that they're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and no longer is this tabernacle, no longer is there a tent where God dwells, but we, as his people, we are the tent, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Listen, what a joy that is. And so when we understand the greatness of our God and his mercy and his goodness to us, when we see him correctly, it's like God saying, if you fear me, you don't have to fear anything else. You don't have to be afraid. See, this fear of God drives out the lesser fears that are around. One pastor said it this way. He said, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is handing God your fear and God handing you his power. Listen, if you want to stand in a world that's bowing down, you need to start by kneeling in his presence. When you hear the enemy say, what if, what if, what if? Just whisper those words that Joshua would say, the Lord is with us. We don't have to be afraid, because lingering in the presence of God, it changes how we see. It gives us strength to stand. And point number three, right, it shapes how we walk. You know, judgment comes, and due to the unbelief of the people, and we see this moment where God singles out these two men, Joshua and Caleb. And I just want to remind you, everybody needs a Caleb. You know, I believe if we were to interview Joshua, I believe if we could have talked to him as he's leading the people into the promised land and he's recounting all those stories, I believe he would have said, man, I remember when we went in and we spied out the land, and I'm so thankful. So thankful that Caleb was in my life. I'm so thankful that there was somebody in my life that was spurring me along in a good direction. Maybe that's something that you recognize you need. Maybe that's something you say, you know what, I'm going to go to this D group meeting with Tom next week. I'm going to go and just hear about how God is using those things, right? Every Joshua needs a Caleb. Every Caleb needs a Joshua. We need those people in our life. Verse 24, he says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I'll bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Listen, there's a generation that didn't believe, that didn't experience all that God had for them in the promised land. Their unbelief kept them out. They died in the wilderness. But listen, Caleb, his faith had generational impact. Grandparents, listen to me. His willingness to stand, it impacted his descendants. It says his descendants will take possession of it. Verse 30 of chapter 14 speaks of Caleb and Joshua. He says the rest are not coming into the land, those that are over 20, except for Caleb and Joshua. Joshua, he had learned to linger in the presence of God. Caleb, it says that he followed him fully. I think it gives us this picture of just day by day, him just being in God's presence. There's a Puritan writer that speaks of meditating on God's word. And he says meditation is when you take what you've seen or heard or tasted and allow it to raise your thoughts to heavenly things, using it as a ladder to climb toward heaven. It's those moments where you see the sunrise and you are just reminded just of the greatness of God, that he spoke this very world into existence, that he holds everything together in his strength, in his hand. Caleb, he lived that way. Caleb was the kind of guy, I believe every battle, every step in the wilderness, I just think it was reminders to him of just who God was in his whole life. What I see, and we're going to look at kind of how he finishes, what we see about his finish. We're going to see this guy's just faithful, right? He's got this long obedience, and his eyes, I think, are just on Jesus, and he's walking in obedience. And so could it be that this thought of lingering is not just a moment, but it's a mindset. It's this way that we would walk, this wholehearted obedience. And Joshua 14, if you want to turn there, 45 years later, we're going to see Caleb, and that's how we're going to close. But 45 years later, the same fire is still burning in him. The same fire. Listen, I tell Sherry, I told her the very first week that I was here at Cowie, I was watching a senior saint, and he was, it was Charles Cave was who was. He was down in the old fellowship hall on the bottom, and he had a little parachute, and these kids were playing, and I was leaning back, and I was watching him and his wife, Josephine, and they were loving on these kids, and they were serving these kids, and I just leaned over and I looked at Sherry and I said, you know, I said, it's one thing to be running right now. But I said, one day, I said, man, I just want to finish well. I just want to finish well, right? I want to run the race with endurance until Jesus calls me home. 45 years later, Joshua 14, they're taking the land God's promised. And in verse 10, he says, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke. These 45 years from the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old today. 85 years old. He says, I'm still as strong today as the day when Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. You think he was still strong? You think physically he was still strong? I bet that in a lot of ways. But a lot of ways, maybe if he was able to arm wrestle his old self, you know, and all that, maybe some things had changed. But what he understood is that his strength was from the Lord. And so his strength then was his strength now. Because it was the same God who was with him then that would be with him now. And he says, now, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there and with great and fortified cities. He says, perhaps the Lord will be with me and I'll drive him out as the Lord has spoken. He was a man who finished well. He was a senior saint who was still hungry for the promises of God. Man, I hope when I'm a senior saint, man, I thank God for some senior saints in this place that are still hungry for the presence of God. There's something powerful about that. There's something powerful about those that are still pressing on for the glory of God. Like at 85, in our world, most saints, most senior saints, they're shopping for recliners. And Caleb's saying, just give me that ridge. God, I want to take that mountain. God, there's still work for us to do. There's still land for us to take. There's still people for us to reach. There's still those things. And what you can understand is when you linger in the presence of God, no matter how old you are, you will not stay comfortable. He will call you to things that will stretch your comfort. If you look at the early part of chapter 14, the God's people, the Israelites, they're ready. They're like, appoint us somebody to take us back to Egypt. We would rather go back to slavery and all the mess that's before than to step out and into this moment. But listen, we need to understand God. If some of you maybe seen your saints in the room, God is not finished with you yet. There are still hills to climb. There are still D groups to lead. There are still prayers to pray. There are people to reach. There are things. And listen, God, I believe, is calling us to trade our comfort for his call, to be a people who'll say, listen, we will walk in obedience to him. We're willing to trade comfort and conviction for surrender because we believe that that's where God's promises are found. We believe that that's where God's going to do his best work. We believe God is not done. Yes, God's done wonderful things in our church, but I believe the best is yet to come. Caleb in his old age, he's not coasting into death. He's not coasting into the promised land. Listen, he is still contending for the faith and he is living for the glory of God, and the same presence that gave Caleb strength to start is giving him strength to endure. It's the same God that will give us strength in the midst. He'll give us endurance to finish the race. He who began a good work in us, the scripture says in Philippians 1:6, we'll see it through until the day of completion in Christ Jesus. We have a God who is faithful in his presence. As we step in obedience, his presence will be with us too. This moment in Numbers, the people, they turn back. They wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Everyone over 20 years old who refused to believe and trust God died without stepping foot into the promised land. And here's the tragedy. I wonder what they would say the tragedy is. I wonder what they would say. Like in those moments when they're wandering in the wilderness. I wonder what they would say. Would they say, well, man, it was so good, but the giants were so big and we just couldn't do and we just couldn't. I wonder what they would say. But here's what I would say. The greatest tragedy was not how big the giants were. The greatest tragedy was that God's people stopped believing that he was bigger. Fear kept them from walking in obedience. It kept them from experiencing all that God had for them. Man, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want my family to miss a thing. I don't want this church to miss a thing. I don't want any of us to miss it, right? The warning is clear, right? Don't stop short of the promises of God because we are afraid. But the truth is clear. The same God who was faithful to Joshua and Caleb is still faithful today. It's not about who we face. It's not about the giants that are on the outside. It's about who we follow. See, their courage didn't come from who they were. Listen, when I look, I think, God, I can't do this. I'm scared. Listen, we feel those kind of things. If we start looking at ourselves, God, I can't beat these giants. The giants are too big. But listen, their courage didn't come from who they were. Their courage came from who God is. They lingered. They lingered in the presence of God, and it changed everything in their lives. See, this courage in public, it comes from the secret place. It comes from conviction in private. It comes from those moments like Daniel where he said he purposed, the scripture says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Listen, he'd been alone with God in prayer. He'd been alone, and it changed everything. Church, don't let what you see. When you look around in your life and you feel the Spirit of God leading you to engage and be on mission in your neighborhood, in your workplace, don't let what you see, don't let what you see keep you from obeying what he has said, because he is faithful. Maybe you need to linger again. We're closing, but maybe you've been rushing and maybe you just need to linger. How long has it been since you've opened the Word of God and just lingered in his presence? Maybe God's calling you back to his presence. I believe as this verse just snuck up on me about Joshua, man, I believe God was just calling me back to his presence, to the simple things, just to the basics. Because when you linger there, fear loses its grip on you. Our perspective shifts. We begin to see the things that seem impossible. And can I just remind you, is what seems impossible, when I read the scriptures, what seems impossible is the place that God seems to do his best work. That's who our God is. Maybe somebody in this room, for you, this lingering thought just begins with surrender, with trusting in Jesus for the very first time. The same God who brought his people out of Egypt, he's made a way for us through Jesus Christ. He's the greater Joshua, right, who will bring us to the true promised land. At the cross, Jesus conquers sin and death. And he does that so that we can be brought near, so that once those who were far off could be brought near. Isn't it great in the scripture where it says if we'll draw near to him, that he'll draw near to us? He invites you. Every one of us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And he says, in me, you'll find rest. If you've never trusted him, listen, this could be that moment in your life where you respond with repentance and faith. Repentance, turning away from sin, letting go of those idols that you hold on to. The Israelites got right at the edge of the promise. And they traded it all. Their fears. And if you've never trusted him, don't stand on the edge of his promises. I want to encourage you this morning that you might take that step. That you might just respond in repentance, turning from your sin, turning loose of those idols, letting go of these things that you hold so dear. And just turn fully to Jesus. Believing that what Jesus did on that cross, that's faith, right? Believing that what Jesus did on that cross, listen, that it was for you. Believing it was enough. That his blood, that covers your sin, that his resurrection can give you new life. And we'll declare it at the end. Listen, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us, and he is able, and he is able to save to the uttermost those who would believe and trust in him. So maybe as we sing today, maybe some of you need to call on him, need to confess your sin, and just to rest your faith in him, surrendering your life to him. You can do that even in these moments. If that's you, you might want to come and say, I need Jesus. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to be part of those moments. And believers, maybe your response today is to linger. Maybe your response today is not to rush from this place and from this moment, but to linger in his presence. Maybe like Caleb, there'd be somebody that would kneel and say, God, I pray you'd give me that hill country. God, that land that's around my house, Lord, I pray, God, you would use me for your glory. God, I pray that you would allow fear to decrease, God, and that my faith would grow in your presence beginning right now. Let's be a people who will linger until our hearts can say it. God, give me that hill country. As we sing, let's do that. I'm going to invite the band to come. I'm going to pray. Father, we're grateful. God, we're grateful for your word. God, we see, Lord, how lingering in your presence, Lord, changes everything. God, I pray, Lord, that your people, God, would leave with the right view. God, that they would have their eyes fixed on you and not the giants that are around, God, not the wind and the seas and the things that, Lord, can distract us and cause us fear. But, Lord, we would be reminded of how awesome and how great you are. Lord, may you stir in us, God. I know there's nothing I can do to kind of manufacture that stirring in your people, but I pray, God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you might draw some people to your presence. Lord, we point to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. God, the one for who, God, the joy that was set before him would endure the cross and Lord, would experience all this, God, all of our shame and all of our mess. The one who is victorious, God. God, we pray that God, we would just be reminded, Lord, of the gift that you've given us in your spirit. God, that your people, God, we might just linger there. God, we might find strength. We might find courage. God, not our strength, but remembering you are with us. You live in us. We don't have to fear. If someone doesn't know, you gotta pray you draw them. Lord, that they might come and surrender their life to you. Have your will and way, God. We love you. And God, we just want to be in your presence, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?